Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen, good morning. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We thank God for you today. We thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We're going to continue on that conversation today. Again, if you're listening it on www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can also call in at 646-668-2636 and press 1 on your keypad, and you can join the conversation, ask questions, and participate. And again, it's the holiday season. For those of you who called in already, I see you there. Thank you for calling. Thank you for joining us. And I pray there was something to be said there. We'll encourage you. Well, we're going to continue our conversation. I have Elder Mark from New Vision Life Kingdom Builders is joining us this morning. And we're going to make a little shift here. We're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to continue in our evangelism boot camp. I'm going to do a quick review here. In the last previous episodes, we touched on a couple of different things. We touched on the privilege of prayer, the importance of prayer when we set ourselves and set our minds to go and to evangelize the world. Are we praying for the lost? Are we praying for the unbeliever? Are we praying for those in our lives that we've been trying to reach, family members, co-workers, our neighbors? Prayer is an important foundation for any type of evangelism, anything we do, even if we go out and feed the homeless, we go out to do give away clothes or food, you know, prayer is our foundation where it starts, that we have God's attention and God has our attention, that we might be used in those moments of encounter and engagement. Amen? The second is the power of the Word of God. Do we believe the Word of God is what the Word of God says and what the Word of God is going to do? Sometimes as Christians, we may get caught up in a lot of the, what do we call it, the ministry of ministry, and get caught up into our lifestyles, because now we're Christians, we do things, certain things we do, and we forget about the Word, and we slip in sometimes even some churches. You know, you see it a lot if you ever get on the internet and YouTube. A lot of churches do a lot of entertaining, but it's the Word of God that's going to change. If we read through the book of Acts, if we read what Paul's missionary journeys, he took the Word of God to the people. He showed the people in the Word who Jesus Christ was, what must they do to be saved, and why, and what proof there was that Jesus said was who he said he was, that he was the Son of the living God. And it's the Word of God. It's if we can get the Word of God in people's hands, you know, and with that, we have to also be in the habit of having a word, having a gospel, having a track, having, we talked about previous episodes about carrying around the Gospel of John, the small Bibles with the Gospels in it, to be able to just plant and put in people's hands, planting seeds around, leaving them in different strategic places, you know, doctor's offices, waiting room. Though some of us are traveling, you could leave a gospel in an airport, in a bus station. You could even hand them out, because you'd be surprised people getting on buses. If you hand them a gospel, by the time they get to where they're going, they might come to a revelation of who Jesus Christ is just by reading it. So we have to be strategic. We have to be wise in the Word of God and being ready to share the gospel, having a track on us in your car, in your pocketbook, in your pocket, in your coat pocket, to be able to share with someone. We never know how God's going to use us. We don't ever know when opportunities will come up and we can share a word and plant a seed in somebody's life. Amen. And in the last episode, we talked about how do we share our faith? What do we believe? What do we believe and why do we believe it? And being able to share our testimony in a clear and precise and succinct way that we can tell what God has done for us. What we were before Christ, who Christ is, why do we believe, and the changes in our life. And can we do that without preaching a sermon, without, you know, going into a lot of scripture, quoting scripture, but tell people who we are. Again, our faith is, as Christian men and women, men of God, women of God, that we are able to tell people why Christ. Why do we believe Christ? Why do we believe the Word of God? Why do we know? Why do we believe what Christ said about himself? And what changes in our life have changed? You know, we talk about, you know, again, if some folk need to hear that gospel from us in plain and simple terms. And we are a testimony. Our testimony is a testimony for folk to believe. Those who knew us before and even those who never knew us. Because we can tell a person who we were and what we were capable of, but now because of Christ and because of what we believe in the Word of God, we're not that person anymore. We've been renewed. And how do we communicate that? So we have to be able to have a gospel conversation in our conversations, you know, and just be that. Because, again, if we look in the book of Acts, if we study Paul, when Paul went on three missionary journeys. For those of you who don't know, it's time for you to restart to read your scripture and not pull verses out and try and memorize them and quote them and try and be cute. Read the book of Acts and understand how Paul related to Gentiles. These were people of the first century who knew nothing about Judaism, who didn't even know who Israel, the God of Israel, was, but yet he was able to share Jesus Christ to them through his travel and going in and speaking to them about his testimony and about what God has done for them and who Jesus said he was. Can we do that? Are we preparing ourselves to do that? And I always say, you know, for our leaders, those out there, are we discipling our people to be evangelists? Are we making evangelism one of the core belief foundations of anyone's faith? Because we have to be able to tell what we believe and why we believe it to a lost and dying world. We have to be salt and light. The only way we can do that is can we communicate it? Amen? Amen. 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 Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. Everything is well. It stopped raining. The sun is out, so I think we're going to have a good day today.
Amen.
And plus, for those of you who don't know, we're in Maryland, and it's going to be like 50-something degrees today in December. So that I don't know if that's a miracle, a curse, or the sign of Jesus coming back. But anyway, we're going to take it as it is. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Because there's been times out here.
Which one I might be prepared for, sir.
Hey, you're supposed to be prepared for all of it, brother. So, oh, man, come on, man. That was an opportunity. You're supposed to, yes, sir. You're supposed to go, amen. We're ready for it all. Because we know that a couple of days before Christmas, some years around here, we was under a couple of inches of snow. And everybody was shut down, but we good. But we good today. This week, this look like this week is going to be good. But anyway, amen, amen. Well, you heard me in the first. I just gave a quick review of what we've been talking about over the last couple of episodes. But today, we're going to dive in. We're going to dive into a deep end of the pool a little bit here. Because this comes up every year. And I know you've been in the church a while and been saved and go out. And we know how we engage people about Christmas. You know, so I'm going to let you go first, and then we're going to bounce this thing around because there's a lot of opinions, there's a lot of things people say. And let me say this, too, for all those who are listening, from Jehovah's Witnesses to Mormons to Muslims to the Nation of Islam to whatever, anyone, any non-believing Christian who is some other religion, seems like the Christmas season is always the opportunity to go after the weak sheep. You know, because, again, what are we teaching people? What are we teaching people in our churches and how are we discipling people? And how? Because when they come with their accusations for the unbelieving, unknowing person, they'll ask a question, and can we answer it? Because now when someone comes to you and answers this question about Christmas and Jesus' birth, how would you answer it? And and for husbands and fathers out there, how would your wife and your family answer? Do they have an answer for these questions? Because sometimes these are truly legitimate questions for the unbeliever. We can't assume everybody understands Christmas and why it's here. So, Elder, let me start with you, sir. Was Jesus born on Christmas?
Wow. Now, see, that truly is a question that I've heard so many questions and challenges to. When you talk about the calendar and people start to try to figure out the exact day and the as far as people talk about, you know, leap year and the change of seasons and the time going back and does it really compute to today? And I've come to find out sometimes those arguments are the way people just challenge, because if someone can throw in a challenge to your belief, if someone can find a place that, and that's just like the enemy, and not to say that these people are being used by the enemy to challenge you, sometimes they just have questions that, and want a true understanding. But, you know, so many times the question is asked, and then when we don't have a direct answer, we don't have a sure answer, we begin to misquote, we begin to try to prove. We try to prove with facts, with, you know, establishing this fact says this, and, well, this timeline says this. For me, and to be absolutely honest, I really do not know if that date is exactly correct, if the 25th of December is the exact date. I have never had an absolute answer to that question. But my faith tells me that the story of Christ, that he was born from Immaculate Conception to the Virgin Mary, that he was born, that all the aspects of the entire story, how he was born, that Joseph had traveled back into Bethlehem, and because of the things that Herod was doing, all of those things are things that people will try to disprove and argue. My belief is Jesus is the Son of God, born to the Virgin Mary, and that he was born. And that he lived his life free of sin, that he was crucified, died, buried, and rose again. The timeline, for argument's sake, I don't have an argument. I just know that I believe that it was all done for me. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. You know what? I hope everyone was listening, because the answer you gave is the answer. It is the answer. As men of women of faith, as men of God, this is what we have to be able to teach. This is what we have to be able to stand on. We stand on the fact of Jesus Christ. It's not because the dates and times, there's a lot of things I'm going to touch on a few of them here, but that is our foundation. it is that the fact that Jesus Christ was born, and who he is and who he said he was and why he came here. And the thing that we do in this season here is Christmas, December season. Some of it is all ceremonial. We do a lot of things out of ceremony, because if we go through every holiday that people get, they get a paid day off from, and we're trying to realize that if we start taking away people's days off holiday, then we'll have a real revolution around here. But it seems like Christmas is vulnerable because again, it's connected with the things of God and what the Word of God says and how God is the blueprint for our life. And that's what people are bucking against. They're bucking against righteousness. They're bucking against salvation. They're bucking against living holy. It's not just about the argument trying to say Jesus wasn't born in December. They don't want to believe God's word for their lives. And that's the thing that we are called to do when we are to be salt and light. So that's why it's more important that we understand the teachings of Christ, the teachings of the Word of God, what the Word of God tells us about ourselves, tells us about our character, tells us about how we treat our wives and our children, how we treat each other. What is the church supposed to be doing? This is what, this is where it starts. They try to, because they deflect from that. Because it's like anything else I used to say all the time. I can't respect the man who can quote scripture. He quotes a bunch of scripture. He knows the Bible back and forth, and he knows all this stuff. But his life is a mess. His life is a mess. His marriage is a mess. Or even if he's not married, he's fathered a bunch of kids, and he's living with someone now, like the woman by the well. You're living with someone that's not your wife. So, all of those things. Again, these are distractions to try and cover up what is holy, what is sin, and what is unrighteousness looks like. So, again, as for us as believers in Christ, we have to just be in a firm foundation of who Jesus Christ is. Now, we can discuss it. We can research it. I've sat through some teaching of it before, and this was years ago, but we're not going to do that here today because, it was a couple of sessions. But we can go. We can go into history. We can go outside of the Bible and look at the historical fact of Jesus Christ, because he's written in Jewish history and even in the Roman Empire at the time. His birth, his persecution in Judea, those things are there outside of the Bible. So, again, this is where it's time for us to study. If you don't know for yourself, research it. You got it. We got the scholarship. There's places you can go to find it. But as for today, we're going to stay with the question of Christmas and what it means, and we're going to answer some of the other questions. Elder, let me ask you this. My favorite one is, let's see, I don't know if you heard this one yet. This is a test, bro. I'm going to see how you respond to this. Let's see. Christmas. Christmas was like a pagan holiday, and then they just stuck Jesus' birthday there because it used to be a pagan holiday. So when the Romans took over, I can't even get the story right. Hold on a minute. Oh, it's winter solstice. That's what it was. The pagans celebrated the winter solstice because that was in the time of the year with the shortest day of the year. And it was celebrating the winter solstice, praying to the moon and the stars or whatever. And Christians, and somehow it got into the church with the Roman Catholic Church. That's what it is. How do you respond to that? Christmas was made up, and it was a pagan holiday, and Christians shouldn't celebrate it. What do you say to that one?
If we challenge Christmas, if we challenge any day on the calendar and any celebration, a day chosen by man on a particular day for whatever reason. It can be related to whatever time in history when that date was, I hate to say established, but whenever that celebration was established or began by whoever it began. Once again, I still stand on my faith that says Christ is who he is, and that's what I'm celebrating. Just like some people celebrate Halloween. Some people don't celebrate birthdays. The Jehovah's Witness don't celebrate birthdays because of the first gift given written in history was when Herod's wife asked for the head of John the Baptist. So they don't give gifts because that was the first gift written that someone was given a gift, requested a gift. So they don't celebrate or they don't give gifts at birthdays or times of season, Christmas or whatever. we all, in every religion, we all have different times and different things that we believe. But someone using that particular day and says, oh, it's related to this, is just an attempt to disprove my belief. But my belief stands strong in who Christ is. Christ is the Son of God, once again, born by the Virgin Mary. And whatever day, it doesn't matter to me if he was born on the 21st of January, the 25th of December, the 3rd of July. Whatever day he was born on, I know he was born for me. I know he was born with a mission to save me from sin, to save us all from sin. So that's what my faith says. But whatever argument of the date, the calendar, changes absolutely nothing in my belief. I know who the Son of God is because I know what he's done for me. And my testimony is that he changed my life, that he saved me from myself. And that's what I will stay rested in. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Again, for those of you listening, you're listening to Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Paul. We're talking about the birth of Christ and what day he was born. And you're right, bro. If we look across the calendar, first of all, our calendar is based off of Roman calendar. The days of the month, they're all specific days for Roman gods. So if we want to go into the deepness of it all, the months of the year were from Roman and pagan gods. The days of the week were names of Roman and pagan gods. So let's come back into who Christ is and focus on that and why you must believe. You know, and you're right. And we look at the calendar. We got President's Day. We got Veterans Day. We got all these holidays, again, that all were decreed by either presidents, Congress, or by men, by cultures. In other countries, you know, they have holidays that they celebrate as a culture. It's funny, I was in Thanksgiving. I just happened to be down there. If you go in the Caribbean, some countries, everybody in the world doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving like in America. You know, and other countries have holidays that Americans don't celebrate. So it's the same basic principle. You know, just because it's just that Christmas is so universal, and it's the Christian faith, which is ingrained ingrained in this American culture, even though we don't abide by the Word of God, but we still celebrate some stuff. But I mean, just having that what's it called? I used to know what it meant, but anyway, we were founded on folk who believed in Christianity. So we have that ethic, we have that background, we have that heritage here. So, and even with that, you know, almost everybody in the world recognizes Christmas and knows who Christ is. They may not believe, but they recognize the name and they recognize Christmas. So it's become a cultural thing, which I think is a good thing because it gives us opportunity for even the pagan to take one day and think about it. Even if they want to argue with us about it, the name of Christ is coming up. So they still have to deal with it. So this, to me, is an opportunity to say you can't stand before God and come Judgment Day and stand before Christ and say you never knew or you never heard, because we had Christmas every year since I don't know when. I don't know how long in America. I know in America it's been here a couple of hundred years. So there's been a generation where Christmas is celebrated and nationwide. So if you heard Christ, just because you didn't choose to believe him, you didn't choose to understand and believe who he was, you've heard the name of Jesus before. And I think that's also, again, the things that we do in this world as human beings, God's hand is in it. God has a reason for why he does things. He gives opportunity. And just the fact that we can discuss if Jesus Christ was born on the 25th of December or not is opportunity for someone else to ask and wonder why. And then for us, when they come to us, ask us. So if I tell you he wasn't born, but I can tell you why he was born and what you must do to believe, and why he even became incarnated in the womb of a virgin because of the sin of the world. This is the gospel. This is an opportunity for us to use it instead of arguing about the date. Tell someone about Jesus. You know, that I've learned and I share with my evangelism team. This is the way we have to come at it. These how we always answer questions people have and bring them back to Jesus Christ, because he is the answer. He's the foundation of our faith. He's the Alpha and Omega, and he's the beginning of the end. And if we can, any questions that people would have, if we bring them back to Christ, we have succeeded, because now we opened it up. Amen? Amen. So, again, it doesn't matter today. And for this, I came across this recently. It's you know what? How about if we celebrate, if I could tell in our witnessing, If we can tell the person the date that we repented and believed Christ, that's our Christmas, because we're celebrating them because that's when we believe. Because just because we celebrate the 25th of December, if you have not believed and repented of who Jesus Christ is, it's not going to do you any good anyway. You're going to get a lot of presents that you won't be able to find this time next year anyway. That's why you get more presents every year, because the stuff you got last year, it's not you. I bet you can't even find half of it. And I know the kids can't, because that's just who children are. Amen?
Amen.
So they always looking for new stuff. Amen, amen. But again, you know, it's important that we're able to share. And I didn't, and then that thing you, in the part you shared about Jehovah's Witnesses and the birthdays, I remember hearing about some of that back in the day on why they don't celebrate this, that, and the other thing. But again, you know, we just have to, today, we just want to encourage folk and understand and just touch on some of the themes and be some of the questions that you might be asked as you evangelize, and especially in this time of year when you come against, the skeptic or those who just want to, just question you, and for some reason that December 25th is not the day, and then they're going to make a big deal of that. So if he wasn't born then, so if that's not true, everything else is not true. But we have to remember, the date and time is not in Scripture. It's the event that is taught in Scripture, and the circumstances around it. It's not, because if we examine Scripture for ourselves, we'll see that the date and time, it's the year is not even mentioned. It's just given a certain season. But again, let me say this. Let me ask you this. Even in the midst of it, it's some things we always talk about that, I don't know if you ever heard this. Let me know if you have, that some people, some scholars and some people out there put it that maybe he was born in September because of the Gospel of Luke, when it talks about the shepherds being in the fields. And for those of you who have known and haven't been able to travel to Israel during this time of the year, it's almost like here. It's winter time. It's cold, and I don't think you would have your livestock out in the fields in the middle of December normally, even though it's like 60 degrees today, but. What do you say about that, sir? You ever heard that? Some people believe it may be in September.
I've heard, and I honestly, I couldn't tell you how many different dates I've heard and arguments I've heard. And once again, it goes back to what you just said a few minutes ago. If someone can give you a reason to disprove, that's the same thing. And once again, I'm not saying that these people are, quote-unquote, of Satan, and they're not the enemy, as we call Satan as the enemy, but the same, this is what Satan does. Satan wants to give doubt in your faith to stop your connection with God. And if someone can give you an argument that shows you that would give you any reason to doubt what you believe or what you're saying, it takes away from the validity of your belief. So when someone can say to you, oh, well, you know, now the 25th was this, that, and the other date, or it was September because of this, that, and the other. All those things are variables that we can never prove. We can never say for sure, because the Word of God, which we stand on, once again, has no date. It doesn't have a date. It doesn't say that it was September the 21st or December the 25th. It doesn't say what day it is. It just gives the account of how Christ came to be, who Christ is. And I've heard so many dates. I've heard, and I don't know if it was exactly September, but that was something I heard about because of the seasons, the season, the time of the year, because of the way the stars, you know, they follow the North Star to get to, you know, to follow, to find where he was being, where he was born, to reach the manger where he was born. Then there's arguments that he wasn't actually born in the manger; it was actually the lower parts of the inn of the hotel, but I mean the inn. There's all kind of variables that people have arguments about, and all of those things are positions that take you away from the simple belief that Christ is who the Word of God says he is. That he was born the way the Word of God says he was. That he lived the way the Word of God. He lived that temptation did not, that he said did not succumb to the temptations of flesh, that even when the devil tempted him after the 40 days of fasting, that when he was tempted in the wilderness, that he did not give in, that he lived a sin-free life and once again was crucified, died, and was risen for our sins, that he went to the depths of hell and took the keys of death. That's why the word says death has no sting. All of these things are about God, and it's just believing who God is for you. That becomes a part of your testimony. That becomes a part of your belief. That becomes a part of your understanding. If someone can argue a fact that says you were born at 821 instead of 823, does that mean you were still not, that you weren't born, that you don't exist? It's just an argument of a variable. It's an argument of a time, something established by man after, and an account established after this story has already been written, after this story has already been shown, after God has already done everything that he needed to do for us. All these different accounts are nothing but arguments to disprove it, to give you doubt. Don't doubt. Believe who God is for you. And when you go out to evangelize, stand strong on that. And it doesn't matter what anybody tells you, what anybody says, believe what you believe, how you believe, and who you believe. And for me, I believe wholeheartedly every word of the Bible. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You know, and you're absolutely correct. You have to believe. Believe the word of God. Go to the word of God. Even in this, and that's the thing also that I want the audience to hear and with the brothers that are online to be able to hear. Stick to the word of God when we're evangelizing. It's the word of God that's going to change lives. It's not the theories and philosophies of men and the arguments and then the vain and thin arguments that men come up with. Again, if we stick to Luke chapter 2, if anybody ever asks you, I'll say this to everybody that's out there. If anybody ever asks you about when was Jesus born, start at Luke chapter 2, and that's your answer. If it's someone who's challenging you, tell them, go read Luke chapter 2. And say, that's what I believe. And that's what we have to be able to do. It's the word of God. We don't get into the debates and arguments. And even for the novice, the true unbeliever who just doesn't know and has a legitimate question, take them to the word of God. Take them to the word of God. Show them in the word of God for themselves that the word of God will change their heart and will give them the answer. Because remember, salvation is a supernatural thing, a working of God. It's not of us. It's not us doing all the heavy lifting and the work and the sinner's prayer and all those things. The change of person's heart is the word of God and the supernatural power of God. Because remember, God's going to save who he will. He already knows who's going to save and who's going to believe and who's not. Okay? So we have to just do our part. Our part is to be sowers of seed, to show love to a lost and dying world, and to be able to love one another. This is what we're called to do as a church, as disciples of Christ, to be able to reach and just be faithful to the word and what we believe, and also increase in our faith and understanding. Because, again, we have to always have an answer. The word of God says study to show ourselves approved, and this is part of it. Because it's not about us seeing how smart we are when we come to church and come to Bible study. It's about us being prepared to go out and talk to a lost and dying world to be salt and light. We come into the church, we are part of the church, and we're to grow and develop and come to understanding, increase in our faith, encourage one another, but then to go back out and reach the lost. Because again, if it was not for faithful believers, faithful disciples of Christ, some of us would not have heard the gospel. Because again, not all of us were born in the church, born to Christian families, born to believing families. I know brothers who were raised as Nation of Islam and Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics and everything else, but because they heard the true word of God from someone who was faithful to it and had an answer to answer their questions. Because if you ever talk to a Catholic or Jehovah's Witnesses, you have to be on point to show their error, because if you don't, you get caught up. So again, we have to study ourselves to show ourselves approved and know what we believe and why we believe it. Because some of the pseudo wannabe Christian groups, they train their folk. They train their folk diligently. They train their folk, and they don't have no laughing and smiling. But the real church, sometimes we're slack in a discipline of studying the word, and of course, and even training in evangelism to be able to go and speak the truth, and know a lie, and have discernment, and still do it in love and compassion. Because when we get our emotions balled up, sometimes we want to prove that we're right. We know we're so right, and then we get angry, so we already failed at what Christ has called us to do. And now we want to argue to be right, and they're wrong. So once that anger and that flesh rises up in us, even in our evangelism, we already failed. We have to repent. But we don't have to do that. We can just say the word, let the word do what it will. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Elder Mark of New Vision Life Kingdom Builders. Elder Mark, real quick, share information about your church home and times and service schedules and how people can come out and fellowship.
Amen, amen. Once again, I'm Elder Mark Garnes. I'm a faithful member at New Vision for Life Church in Woodlawn, Maryland. Address is 1724 Woodlawn Drive, Suite 2, and the zip code is 21207, once again in Woodlawn, Maryland. And I am there faithfully serving under our beloved Apostle Etta Banks, a true woman of God who has blessed us. We are a small ministry steadily growing to the international call that has been placed upon us. Just a church full of love, full of family. We spend our time together. We celebrate together. We fellowship together. And I'm blessed that ministry is not one that we just go to church on Sunday. We all spend time together. We hang out together. Our men's ministry is growing. We have a men's ministry that was blessed to couple with Deacon Farr with the Man Up events, and that has continued on to leading into this radio show, which has truly been a blessing. I've been serving there at the ministry for going on 11 years. I joined the ministry not too long after being married. I was going through some serious health issues. The larger ministry I was a part of, I didn't ever see my pastor when I was in the hospital, but Apostle Banks was there every day, sometimes for 4 or 5 hours, even when I was asleep holding my hand. I felt a desire to visit her church, and when I visited, I've never left ever since. So I've truly been blessed. It's a healing ministry full of love, full of good people that I celebrate and call my friends and family. Our services are discipleship class on Sunday morning starts at 9:30. Our normal worship service starts at 11. We have our Wednesday night Bible study also starts at 6:30 in the evening. And our corporate prayer is on Thursdays, and that is at 7 o'clock. Our website is newvisionforlife.com. That's N-E-W, the number 4, lifechurch.com. And you can visit our website and see all the information about our ministry, our calendar, all of our events coming up, our outreaches for children, our different events for our married couples, our women's ministry, children's ministry. We have an awesome two awesome leaders in the women's ministry. The children's ministry there. My wife is one of the heads of the women's ministry. I head up the men's ministry, and we've just truly been blessed to be there. So pray that you're able, if you're in the Woodlawn area, or if you want to travel, if you're looking for a church home, this is truly a place that you will be blessed and taught, not just the word just spoken to you, but being fed the word that you can digest it and have it within you that you can utilize it for a change in your life. We always pray that the word is not only a good word, but a word that will do some good in your hearts. Back to you, sir.
Amen, 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 bro. I appreciate that. And again, give Pastor Apostle Banks my Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And I'll be back out there this year to visit and everything. Also, my church home is Jesus Lives Ministry in Hanover, Maryland. We're located at 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland, over near the Maryland Live and Arundel Mills Mall. Our service time is 11 a.m. on Sundays, and we have prayer and Bible study at 6:30 for prayer, and then 7 p.m. at Bible study every Tuesday night. So I encourage you to come out and join us. We were surrounded. We got churches. We got God has churches and people everywhere. So it's always a place you can go in fellowship and connect with one another. And also, I do want to give a shout out to the brother at the Man Up Events and the men's ministry. I'm praying for those brothers and the Man Up Events. We connected on that because it's important that we reach men. This whole that Man Up Events and the Issues Christian Men's Talk all came out of a desire and a passion to touch the men, to touch men that were in the church specifically, because we had a lot of men who were just floating on the edges, on the fringes, and not coming to the knowledge and understanding who Christ is, and weren't getting fully engaged and knowing that God can deal with some stuff. And because I was there, and I was there for a while, and it took a man to disciple me. So this is what we have a passion for, to reach the men. Because if we reach husbands and fathers, we can reach families, we can reach communities, and we can make the church stronger through that. So and also we're able to reach other men, because as men, we have to be able to speak the gospel to other men, because men, we have go through some of the same things in the church, outside the church, because we have more things in common than we are different. And if we can get a good, solid man in the Word of God, who lives in the Word of God and understands the Word of God and application of the Word of God, he can reach a lost man and might save a family, a child, a wife, a mother, through the salvation of Jesus Christ. So that's our passion here. One thing I want, we're gonna close a little bit here, but I do want to just come back and talk about some other things real quick when we're talking about Christmas. You know, in this, again, I say, it's the Gospels, it's the Word of God. For those out there who are listening, Luke chapter 2, start there. Study for yourself. There's also resources out here. There's a very good book that I know of. It's called The Case for Christmas. It's written by Lee Strobel, Strobel. He's written a book giving the case. The story, his testimony is he was a journalist, a non-believing, almost atheist, New York Times journalist. And what he tried to do, what he thought he was going to do was go and try and disprove who Christ was and that Christianity wasn't real. And he was going to do it from a journalistic research investigative reporter situation. So he was going to non-biblical resources, historical facts, and trying to figure it out. And what happened was he ended up coming to faith in Christ, becoming a pastor, and then he wrote a series of books. One of them was The Case for Christ. One of them is Case for Christmas, Easter, all those things in those traditions. And he goes back and shows his research that these things were true, that the Word of God is true. But just as we are focused on Christmas, it's A Case for Christmas, the Identity of the Child in the Manger. You can get it everywhere, any bookstore, anywhere, and it's Lee Strobel. If you Google him, search him on christianbook.com, whatever, it's Strobel. It's a book we can give away, again, for evangelism. You can give it to someone to read. If they can read that, that'll speak to their hearts. So in closing, as we get ready to wrap up here for today, again, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. I hope your family is blessed. I hope God is meeting any needs out there, because even in this season, we can meet needs. And we have to also remember, as Christians, are we grateful for the things we have? Are we compassionate for those who don't have? Because, again, this holiday season, sometimes we get wrapped up and we forget, and we take for granted a lot of things. But there's a lot of people in this country, in your city, in your state, in your neighborhood, who don't have, who just don't have. I don't care about Christmas. I don't care about what you see on TV. I don't care how crowded the Walmart and Target and the malls are. There's folk out here who are still suffering. There's folk out here who are struggling. And we as Christians, we have to sometimes take a step back and have discernment about those in need and see how we can bless and encourage them. And so they will know that God is real, Christ is real, and that God loves them. And he has sent you and I into their lives, that God might show his love. So I encourage you out there, look around. See, even in your congregations, check on the singles. Check on the single mother. Check on the elderly. You know, this season, it's so much going on. There's a lot of I don't want to say, there's a lot of emotional things going on with people in this season, and some of it is brought to the forefront in people's lives, and they're struggling. So just have some discernment about it. And let's not get all caught up in how much stuff I got under the tree, how much stuff my kids got and my grandkids got. Because there's people out there who they hate Christmas Day and wish and hope it'll be over real soon. Because it doesn't, there's nothing, they can't go, there's nowhere for them to go, nothing for them to do. And all they do is meditate in their own sorrow sometimes. So reach out. Reach out for those in the congregation that might need you. Brother Elder, I'm going to give you the closing words and you can close us out with prayer. I thank you again for joining us. Thank you for your wisdom and sharing. And brother, be blessed and happy Merry Christmas.
Amen. Amen. And before I pray us out, I just want to share something I was blessed to hear. I shared it a few months ago when we spoke before. We were touching on evangelism. But I heard this, and it really blessed me, and I want to just share it with the listeners before we close out. If you look at your life, we all, whether we know Christ, whether we have never been introduced to Christ, we all have times in our life where we've gone through some things that have changed us, that we're pressing through, that we're still dealing with. But for me, and this is what blessed me, hearing this, to know who Christ is for us. If you look at yourself like a house, it doesn't matter if you're a mansion, if you're a teepee, in any space, there's multiple rooms, there's areas of your life, of your house. Some areas are clean, some rooms are just packed full of junk that you don't let anybody else see. Some of them are packed full of places, stuff that you don't even remember that you packed away, that you've been holding on to, that unforgiveness, that anger, all the things that you're dealing with, that plague that the enemy uses to just hold you down, those chains that have held you in a place of not being able to have that true praise that you want to have, not being able to just break out, not being able to relate to your family, to your friends, to your someone you've held anger against. Whatever the case may be, all those things in some place, some hidden area of your house. Or maybe in your house you have that open window where everything looks good inside the window, but as soon as you get past that closed door, you see all the problems and issues. Who God is, who Christ is, as you see that house full of these rooms that have issues, have problems, some of them are painted pretty, some of them the walls are falling apart. In any case, in any place, wherever it may, however you may be existing, wherever you stand, if you look outside that house, Christ, who is a gentleman, the God we serve, who is a gentleman, is standing outside right now with a mop, a bucket, and a broom, and all he's waiting for is you to say, come in and clean my house. And when you do, he will clean everything and bring you back to the fresh creation that God intended for you to be. No fault, nothing held against your past, just cleaned to be all that God has intended you to be, to hold up and be that beautiful picture house, that beautiful mansion that God intended you to be, that beautiful person wrapped in white swaddling clothes, clean cloth, free of dirt, free of debris, free of the things that the enemy used to hold you back. He's waiting outside for you to welcome him in and to clean your life. All you have to do is ask. And it's simply by saying, Jesus, you are my Savior. I know that you died on the cross for me, that you died for forgiveness of my sins, sickness and disease. And I truly believe that you are the Son of God. And I will serve you, believe your word, follow your word, and accept that you are the Creator and Savior of my life. That's all it takes. Father God, we honor you and bless you. We thank you, Father God, that as we learn of you, learn more about you, we learn even more of ourselves, Lord God. We all are asking, Father God, whether we're in that place where we've fallen away from you or we've never known, Lord God, that you come into our hearts, our minds, that you clean us up, Lord God, that you remove anything within us that is not in line with you. We thank you, Father God, that as you are the creator, Lord God, you are the true author and finisher of our faith, Lord God, that you know everything, Lord God. You know us, our very beginning from our end, Lord God. So you know all the things that we've had to deal with and that we will deal with. But we thank you, Father God, that your word says all things are working out for the good of those that love you, Lord God. And we truly do love you, honor you, and bless you. We celebrate you as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha Omega, beginning and the end, Lord God. We thank you for this season, Lord God, a time of fellowship, Lord God, that we can truly celebrate, Lord God, your birth, Lord God, that you have come for us, Lord God, that you were born again, Lord, that you were born for us, Lord God, that you were born with a purpose, Lord God, to deliver us from the sins of the world, the sin of life, Lord God. We truly thank you for all that you are, all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you'll continue to do in our lives. As we stand, we honor and bless you and pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas to you all. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. We'll talk soon. Have a wonderful weekend.
You do the same, sir. Thank you.